Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs chapter number 29. Let's stand, please, while I read the Word of God. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. Whoso causeth the righteous to go astray in the evil way, he shall fall himself into his own pit. But the upright shall have good things in possession. The rich man is wise in his own conceit, but the poor that hath understanding searcheth him out. When righteous men do rejoice, there is great glory. But when the wicked rise, a man is hidden. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. I love that verse of scripture. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whosoever confesseth and forsaketh them shall, didn't say maybe, might, but shall have mercy. Happy is a man that feareth always, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus, and thank you for the privilege that we have tonight to be in the house of God. I thank you for all the singing that's gone on. Thank you for the choir. And thank you, Lord, for the little fellows that sung. And then, Father, we thank you for the quartet. And I do pray, God, you'd help all of us realize the fact we can't even walk without you holding our hand. Lord, the reason why we've come this far in this life is because of your grace and mercy. And Lord, we thank you and praise you and give you glory tonight. I thank you for every heart you've touched, every life you've changed. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name tonight would be another night. Somebody cry out for forgiveness and be saved and born in the family of God. And help us, Lord, that all of us that are saved, that we might draw close to you. And that we may let you have your way and magnify yourself and get glory. And we'll thank you. And realizing tonight we can't stand here without you, so we pray. In Jesus' name for that divine touch of God, thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. We'll try to recap just a little bit of that we said this morning, and we'll move on. I have two other things I want to give you tonight. And I have preached this message in revivals. I preached it in different ways, use different subtitles, different. It's something that you can go on and on with. But I have two special things I want to mention tonight. But this morning we talked about unsaved church members, and Sister Susan just really lit a fire. She testified in my heart. And what all had gone on before that, and then she gets up and makes that testimony, I say hallelujah. Amen. I'd almost be like Don Farmer and call out time and shout a while. Amen. Praise God, she got saved. And there's a classic example of somebody that's a church member but not saved. God spoke to her heart, brought her under conviction, and she came to Jesus and got born in the family of God. And for these years, she's been here serving the Lord. And what a blessing that is. Yes. Think about that. What if she just said, well, I'm saved. I made a profession. I belong to the church. I went through those steps, and I'm okay. What if she had hardened her heart and would not have admitted the fact that she was unsaved? She wouldn't be in the shape she is tonight. She wouldn't have that smile she's got tonight, and she wouldn't have the joy she enjoys tonight. And down through the years since that time, she wouldn't have had the joy and the peace and the satisfaction that she's known. Let me say to you tonight, it's no shame to admit that you're unsaved. It's a shame to be unsaved and not admit it and try to go on. And knowing God's convicting your heart and dealing with your life, and yet you'll not give in to that and not let God help you, that's where the shame comes in. But I realize sometimes folk don't do it deliberately, don't realize it until God speaks to their heart in a certain way. And I've been through that myself, so I know something about that. And not meaning to be hypocritical, but just because of the fact that we kept looking. I'd look around to other church members, and I think I'm doing what they're doing, so that ought to be all right. But God spoke to my heart one day, and things changed, and I praise him and thank him for it. And the preaching was good where I was. Everything was right. Just God God doesn't got me in that corner right under conviction like I needed. And I kept trying to be good and trying to get to heaven by being good is like flying an airplane, holding on to the tail of it. Instead of getting on the inside and sitting down and the light comes on, buckle up, you're sitting there and the pilot's going to fly the thing and you don't have to worry about a thing except look out the window. Now you might worry some of you. My wife said that the only time she's going to fly is when Jesus comes, she's flying away. Other than that, she said the Bible said, Jesus said, "Lo, I'm with you always." Amen. So I don't know about all that, but I do know this. I do know for a fact, if you held on the tail of an airplane and it was taken down a runway, you wouldn't last long. You'd fall off, probably be dead, but I'm telling you tonight, if you ever get in, sit down and get buckled up, that's getting saved, getting in the grace of God and the Holy Ghost fastening you in and Jesus doing a pilot. And I say hallelujah, amen. And he's taking us on to heaven. I can't save myself, can't keep myself saved. All of that's the grace of God and can't do anything without him holding my hand. I realize it's him and we all need him and praise his name and give him glory for all that he does. But let me again tonight say, if you're an unsaved church member, you need to come to Jesus and get saved and born in the family of God. And if you've never been a church member, you've never joined the church, you've never been ducked under the water, you've never been through any of that, but you'd say, I realize I'm lost. You're a good candidate tonight to get saved and born in the family of God. This thing about going to heaven, you can't go to heaven without being saved. You can't get to heaven any other way than being born in the family of God. Outside of that, you'll die and go to hell as sure as I stand in this place. And I'm not happy about that fact. It's just the fact that God's a holy God. And God cannot tolerate sin. And sin must be dealt with. And you need to be dealt with here at this world on your knees before God in repentance and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Or else it'll be dealt with in eternity. And you can't get saved after you leave here. After this life's over, it's over. And you'll be in heaven or hell, one or the other. I encourage you tonight, if you're not saved, let God the Holy Ghost, as he speaks to your heart, deals with your life, as he says something to you, let him have his way. And nobody's ever gone wrong by trusting Jesus Christ to have his way. And then we talked about the unconcerned spirit. How we ought to have compassion for others, and surely we've seen that around here, and I thank God for it, but let's pray God to help us have more compassion in 2012 and try to get more done and trying to witness and tell others about Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Then we talked about unforgiving spirit, and if we don't forgive, then we're in a mess. You know who suffers the most about forgiveness? The one that does not forgive. It's not the one that got hurt or didn't hurt it or whatever. It's the one that suffers with the unforgiveness. When you have unforgiveness in your heart, you just can't be clean with God. And God can't bless you and help you. But boy, if you can just get to the place where you let God forgive you and ask God to help you. And you remember the book of Job? And I was going through a tough time one time, and I sat down one day and read the book of Job. And I thought about this. And Job, and there's some things going on, and some of you know what I'm talking about, but we won't go into all that. But all I was doing, trying to preach the word of God, and God was blessing, things would happen, but some folk got upset about, I guess that's because I was pastor, I don't know. And I left that church because of sickness. They got sick and tired of me. No, not really. It was something else, but that's all right. I look back on it. I thank God for it because God brought me to Gateway after that, and I thank him and praise him for it. But here's what Job said. His friends had criticized him. They had talked about him, and Job wasn't guilty of anything, but they kept trying to tell him he was. But then the Bible says when it got to the end of the book, Job prayed for his friends. When Job prayed for his friends, God healed his body. God helped him get better. And he and his wife had 10 more children. And he was blessed with possessions and riches. And what a blessing that is. Amen. praying for those that have misused you. Those, he's praying for people that had tried to down him when he didn't, wasn't guilty of anything. And but whatever your situation may be, and forgiveness is ought to be real in your life. Learn to forgive. And I like that Eskimo word for it, not able to think about it anymore. And when you're not able to think about it anymore, you're going to be all right, amen? And so it'll be a blessing to help to you. But tonight, I want to talk about an unused altar. And I'm thankful tonight I saw people coming to the altar and find their place. I just want to give you three quick things about the altar tonight, and then I want to move on to where I really want to get to. But the altar is something I wanted to say something about. It's a special place. This altar has no special powers within the carpet, within the wood, the concrete under it, whatever. Ain't no special power in that, but it's a special place. This place was dedicated for the service of God. The whole building was. But the altar is a place where we dedicate to come and meet God, have fellowship with Him. And I say to you tonight, it's a good place sometimes just to come because you want to come and talk to God. Amen. And don't ever get used to the fact that the altar, that you don't need it anymore. Altar's a good place to get and just bow and thank God for what He's done for you and to thank Him for His goodness to you. Thank Him for saving you. And it's a good place to be blessed and helped. You remember where in Genesis 32, 26, Jacob was wrestling with the angel of the Lord, and he was going over the river to meet Esau, and everybody else was out gone on over. But Jacob was wrestling that night all night long. And he said to the angel of the Lord, said, I'll not let, the angel said, let me go, which was a theophany, a presence of the Lord Jesus in the Old Testament. And he said, let me go. But Jacob said, I'll not let thee go unless thou bless me. He said, I'm not leaving here until I get something from you, until you bless me. And he touched the hollow of his thigh, blessed him. And Jacob walked with a limp ever after that. But his name was called Israel. And God did something special for him. And I say to you tonight, what we need sometimes is just get to the altar and say, God, here I am, and I need you to touch me and help me and do something for me. And I praise God for an old-fashioned altar. Amen. I'm glad for a place where you can come and just say, Lord, I need you. And sometimes you come and you can't even put in words what you need, but it's a good place to get. It's no embarrassment to come to the altar, and nobody going to wonder what you're coming for. If you come and need some help, just get my attention, get somebody's attention, and me or somebody will pray with you and help you. But I can tell you tonight, if you need to come, just come and groan. It's a good place to come. Come to an old-fashioned. Did you know sometimes in an invitation service, there's somebody there that God's speaking to, God's dealing with, they know they need to come to the altar. And if they just obey God, it may help somebody else come to the altar and do what God wants them to do. Sometimes you say, well, that not be the way it is, but that is the way that it is. And you'll have to admit that. And some preachers say, and I believe it's probably true, that there's somebody in the service holds a key to the invitation that God deals with and works with. If they obey God, it helps others. It turns God's power loose. And I say to you tonight, you ought to obey God and do what God says. And so I encourage you about the altar. And it's a place of sacrifice. Altar in the Old Testament was always a place of sacrifice. Romans 12, 1 and 2, we're familiar with, said that, brethren, that we present our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let me say this to you about the altar, a place of sacrifice. It's a place where you come, and that song Brother Mike sung the other night and said, it's not your Isaac he wants you. And I say to you tonight, I want you to know he wants you. He wants you, and I praise God for it, that he wants you. And I ask you tonight, will you let God help you? Will you let God do for you what he wants to do? And he wants to help you. It's his will to help you. It's his will to do that not your Isaac, but you get right with God. And that Isaac may be whatever it is, sin in your life, thought life, internet life that's wrong, or whatever it is that you're going on in your life, and God's speaking to you about it, then you need to let God have his way in your heart and in your life. Amen? And thank God for it. And so I rejoice and praise God that this altar is a place of sacrifice, also a place of just place of being crucified with Christ, and a place of self-sacrifice, but a place where we die. It's not just a sacrifice where Christ died, but where we die. And I praise God and rejoice in that. But let me get to this part that I really want to get to, unconfessed sin. Unconfessed sin. Have you ever thought about that? Preacher, I don't have any need for anybody preaching to me about unconfessed sin. I believe this tonight with all my heart. We do have a need to think about unconfessed sin. And I know I do. If you do or not, I don't know. And I've seen revival break out in places and services where somebody just stood up and started confessing sin. And you don't see much of that anymore, and you hear much of that anymore. You know why? Because we're all trying to hide it. Now, God deals with it. I'm not saying everything needs to be brought out to everybody. All of our dirty laundry needs to be set out before everybody. I'm not saying that. I'm saying when God speaks to your heart about something that is public, something that known, then it's good to let God help you with it, amen, and confess it and get it right. So I encourage you about that, and I want to deal with this just for a few minutes. Look at verse number 13 of our text. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Now, God said we ought to be doers of the word, not hearers only. So we need to confess our sin. Achan, you remember Achan over in Joshua? And Achan had sin in his life, hid the gold and silver and garments. And he hid that under the tent floor, and he would not confess it. Even when God told Joshua they sin in the camp, he still wouldn't confess it. When God had to deal with the thing, he still wouldn't confess it until he was pointed out personally, individually, and then it was too late. He confessed it, and they stoned him to death and heaped all that he had. I say to you, when you don't have confessed sin in your life, it not only affects you, it affects other people. They didn't just take Achan out there. They took him, his family, everything that he had. You said, well, that wasn't right. Listen, God said sin's in the camp. Get rid of it. And a lot of things we read about in the Bible, we say is not right. You don't know the holiness of God. I don't know the holiness of God. I try to. I try to get a hold of that, how holy God really is. But he transcends everything that I know. He never had any sin and cannot tolerate sin. I can't grasp all of that, but I do know this, that our God is a holy God. Holy, holy, holy. And that he hates sin and sin in our life, whether it be a thought life or whether it be in actual doings or whether it be in some thing that others don't know anything about, is something that we need to confess to God. And sometimes we just need to come to the altar and confess it to God. And sometimes we need to confess it to somebody else. And sometimes we need just to stand, confess it and get right with God and just say, I failed God. And I want you to forgive me and help me. That's good. But what I'm trying to say is, it's good to confess sin. 1 John 1:8-10. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth's not in us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. And I say to you tonight, that's pretty good scriptures right there. Right in the middle of where he says, if we say we have no sin, and we say we have not sinned, he's telling us right in the middle of it, if we confess our sin, he's just and able to forgive us and to cleanse us from all sin. So he tells us we are sinners, and then he tells us to confess it. Then he tells us again, if we say we have not sinned, we're liars. And so that's putting it down pretty good to us. And he's talking about straight preaching. That's straight preaching. And he preached it that way. I say hallelujah and glory to God. And listen to what Isaiah 59:1-2 says. The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sin has hid his face that he will not hear. And sometimes we're praying for folk to get saved, and God's dealing with our lives about something, and we need to get it right and let God help us, and then God can deal with them. And so we need to hear what God has to say and pray that God will help us. And he will if we'll let him, and he'll do what he said to do. We need to make sure we got our giving right. We need to make sure we got our hearts right, our witnessing right, and our thought life right. And I have a battle day by day. It's a battlefield, not a playground. It's a battlefield. It's good to laugh. It's good to have joy. It's good to enjoy the things of God. And I love it too. I praise God for it. And Brother Terry said something here tonight, and I appreciate what he had to say. He hit the nail on the head, but and we was walking down the aisle a while ago, and we was talking about some things, and he said, well, smile. I smiled. Amen. So I believe God will help you smile once in a while. And even in the darkness, and he'll let you smile and say hallelujah and praise God. Good time. But confessing sin is a good thing to do. Sometimes we get so wrapped up in what's going on around us and other people that we forget to confess our sin. And God help us that we'll confess our sin. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Father, you know our hearts tonight. You know exactly what's going on in our lives. You know what's going on in every life. And I pray tonight the Holy Ghost of God would do a work. Maybe somebody here tonight need to get saved, need to get born in the family of God. They need Jesus. Maybe somebody here tonight that you're dealing with as a Christian, saved, born again person, that needs to get some help. And they just need to come and pray. Maybe somebody here tonight needs to come thank you. Maybe somebody here tonight just needs to come and get right with you. Maybe something in their life that you put your finger on and you've worked with, and Father, you're speaking to their heart. Help me to be open to myself and open to your Holy Spirit to work in my heart and do what you need to do in me. I pray tonight for that unsaved person. God, let them come. I pray for that young person. I pray for that middle-aged and older person that need to come and get saved. Will you speak to their heart today? Thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen.